It is really a joy for me to be here this morning with all of you as you celebrate your centennial, or I guess this is the culmination of the past year's celebration of 100 years. It's also really good to see and hear Hani Young on the organ and the piano. When I started as your district superintendent 7 years ago, Hani at that time was the accompanist, the organist over at Lakewood First United Methodist Church. And so now that I am concluding my superintendency, she's moved west, and it's great to hear her play this morning. I have been fortunate to worship here in this sanctuary at least several times, at least pre-pandemic, several times. But just today I noticed, and you may be the only church, at least on the west, for this, but just today I noticed that you do not have a clock on the back wall. You know, most sanctuaries, they position that clock on the back wall, right in the line of sight of the preacher. But I just noticed you don't have that. However, I do notice where the sermon is placed in today's worship, right towards the end of our time, right before the benediction and the sending forth. So I get the hint, okay? And plus, you're getting hungry. That lunch is starting to get into your stomach, so I get it, okay? In addition to celebrating your 100th anniversary, today is also the day of Ascension on the Christian calendar. The Ascension connects with the resurrection. Christ died and rose so that we will have eternal life. And he ascended so that we might be given a share in his divinity, his continuing presence, and therefore his life with God. As the season of Easter draws to a close, and next Sunday you will celebrate Pentecost, we see the early church slowly transforming, taking the experience of encountering the risen Christ and trying to find ways to make it real in their world. The Spirit, Jesus prays, will help the disciples to understand more and more of all that Jesus has shown and taught them. Today's scripture reading from John 17 is commonly known as Jesus's farewell discourse, his final message to his disciples before he is to meet his fate in Jerusalem. This passage also is sometimes called Jesus's high priestly prayer, like the high priest who prayed on behalf of Israel. Jesus prays for others on the eve of his death. In John's gospel, Jesus dies when the Passover lamb is slain in the temple. The other gospels place Jesus' death the next day. Jesus offers this prayer immediately before entering the Garden of Gethsemane. Unlike the other gospel accounts, where Jesus prays in the garden and where his prayer struggles with his impending death, here in John's gospel, Jesus is affirming the hour that has come as his glorification. And the prayer's power lies in Jesus' request that God will protect the disciples, the church, and keep the church unified. Jesus prays for those who are called to embody God's love in his presence. If God's love is seen, it will be through their and our witness. Now, this emphasis on unity doesn't mean that all Christians are expected to agree, but rather it offers hope that we will recognize that what unites us is far greater than what divides us. Glory in John has to do with revealing who God is, It is how God becomes known to human beings. It is something that the disciples have already seen and heard in the signs that Jesus performed earlier in this gospel. They tasted God's spirit and love at the wedding of Cana back in chapter 2 of this gospel. They smelled it in Bethany when Lazarus was called back to life in the 11th chapter. Jesus wants even more glory for his disciples. This prayer ends with the hope that they will see the fullness of glory in God's love. It is not mere togetherness that Jesus prays for his family, but the hope that they and we will find intimacy with God through being part of God's family, the church. Now, I don't know if today's centennial celebration was intentionally planned to coincide with the Ascension, but it's a good fit, particularly given today's gospel reading. The unity expressed in today's reading from John is certainly part of the DNA of this church and has been for the past 100 years. No church or any organization survives 100 years unless it has a high degree of unity. Certainly, there have been disagreements along the way, and no doubt, a few feathers have been ruffled in some church council meetings over the years. But to celebrate 100 years in ministry together says much about Torrance First. Through all of the ministries that are outlined there in the brief history in the program, through all of those ministries, this church has exemplified God's love and care for all of God's people. Through the ways that this church has met so many challenges over the decades, particularly the financial ones, as all churches have, you and your forebears have lived on faith rather than in fear. Through the diversity expressed, not just this morning, but again on my previous worships here in this sanctuary. You have opened your arms through God's open spirit and have welcomed everybody into the life of your church family. This is your glory, and this is God's presence here in this church glorified. Glorified by who you are, what you do, and the joyful ways in which you worship. As many churches seek to grow in their understanding of Christian unity, and beyond that, to the interconnectedness of so many communities nowadays, we remember Jesus' simple plea that we all be one. Not one in every decision that needs to be made, not to be one in the ways we necessarily think, but to be one in the spirit of Jesus Christ, a spirit that calls us to reach out with the love of God through the communion of the Holy Spirit and to be a community that welcomes and embraces everybody, particularly in a world that is becoming, on the one hand, so fractured, but yet, on the other hand, interconnected with a wide diversity of religious beliefs. God calls us to be one in spirit and to move forward as the family united and connected to God through Jesus Christ. This has been the glory of Torrance First for your first 100 years. And as you now enter your second 100 years, I pray that you will continue to embrace the spirit that is found in this week's gospel reading from John 17, to hear the call of Jesus, to respond to that call through unity in the Holy Spirit. This will be your glory in the next 100 years to come. An ancient Chinese proverb says, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Let this be your first step on towards your next century of ministry, so that 100 years from today, those of you who are still here by chance, will be able to celebrate and continue the great legacy of Torrance First United Methodist Church. Thanks be to God. Amen.